Because that's what people do up in church, you know. We're gonna jump back into a little message I like to call open windows. That's right, open windows. Windows that are open, not closed, but open. Because closed windows don't let the breeze in. But we open windows, they let the breeze in. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but it sounds pretty good. But no, you know, last week we started talking about this word called opportunity. It's actually a pretty important word. And as we were talking last week, opportunity is one of those words that we're all looking for. I mean, everybody wants to get ahead. Everybody wants to do well. I mean, unless you're crazy. Everybody is looking for some type of opportunity, right? Whether it's an opportunity with that cute guy, or whether it's opportunity to get better grades, or to get into the college you want to get into, maybe if you're looking for a job to help buy yourself some new kicks or something like that. I mean, maybe you're just looking for an opportunity to meet somebody new and have a good or a best friend. I mean, maybe your opportunity you're just gonna be up late tonight on Call of Duty looking for the right opportunity to snipe some fool that you've been trying to get at for a while. Maybe you're in this place and you're just looking for an opportunity to have a connection, an encounter with God. I mean, you know, that's what we do. We go through our lives looking for opportunities. But the problem sometimes is that we live our life and we don't know how to find them. We don't know where to look for them. Or sometimes we become so wrapped up in fear. When an opportunity rises, we're too scared to take it. It happens all the time. And you see, if the Bible is what the Bible says it's supposed to be, I mean, if it's a book about our life and about God's life with us, well, the Bible talks about opportunity as well as opportunity missed. You know, a couple weeks ago we were talking about the jar lady and how she had a huge need. And this woman was poor. She was broke. She owed people money. It was kind of like a mafia situation, and people were coming after her, and they wanted to steal and kidnap her kids because she couldn't afford to pay the bills. And all of a sudden, it was an opportunity for her either to crumble or for her to rise up and believe God for a miracle. And she rose up and she took the opportunity. She believed God for a miracle and something amazing happened. In Galatians 6:10, you guys don't got to turn there, but it's where we started here last week. In Galatians 6:10, if you guys have it, go ahead and put it up there. But it says this, it says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. It says, every opportunity we get, we need to take it. Especially to do good. Now, last week we left and we challenged everybody to look for one opportunity. Did anybody do that last week? No. Don't disappoint me here, people. Did anybody look for opportunity last week? Purposely look for opportunity? Oh, thank you in the back. Thank you up in the front. Did you find anything? Roman, you didn't find nothing? Nothing? You didn't find nothing? You came tonight. That was pretty good. Man, I didn't tell you. You came to the brainstorming meeting. That wasn't too shabby. Maybe you just don't know where to look. Ms. Janae, you said you're looking for opportunity. Did you find anything? Yes. What did you find? You want to tell me? What did you find? Tell me later. Oh, you tell me later. Oh, wow. I'm intrigued now. I would love to know. Okay, well, I'm gonna have to take notes for this one. This is kind of exciting. Okay. So some of you guys took it. I am sure some of you guys may be too embarrassed to raise your hands, and I don't know if I want to risk asking anybody else here what their opportunities were. Apparently, but see now here's what I'm talking about is every day God brings us opportunity, and I think sometimes we miss it because we don't know where to look or because we don't know what it looks like. So let's talk about this tonight. Yeah, it says, because here's the thing, is I want to talk about this with you guys, because John 9:4, the Bible says this. You don't got to turn there either. I just want to read this to you. But Jesus is talking, and he says, look, guys, he's talking about opportunities. He's talking about work. He's talking about things to do. He says, I must work the works of him, God, who sent me while it's day, because the night's coming when no one can work. Yeah, Jesus is not literally talking about going to work his 40-hour job a week. He's not literally talking about day and night. But what Jesus is talking about is opportunity always has a time limit on it. You see, no opportunity lasts forever. Every opportunity has an expiration date. And if you want to take that opportunity, if you want to get the most out of that opportunity, then you have to seize it. You have to take it before it expires. Because every opportunity only lasts for so long. And that's where this idea comes from, open windows. I don't know if you guys have heard this before, but there's a saying that says that says you have a window of opportunity. And the idea is an opportunity is like a window that's slowly closing. And it's open, and it's open, but it's on the way to being closed. There's a specific time where you could enter, or something can go through, or the air can go, that somebody can go through that opening. But once it's closed, it's closed. You know, for you guys, for example, for you guys, you have one shot at being 15. You have one shot at being 16. You have 1 year to do whatever it is. You have one time to live through your junior high, through your high school experience, and then it's over. And then you get older, and then it goes. And you know, I mean, there's this ridiculously cliche saying now, that says you only live once. And you know, truth be told, you get one shot at life. I mean, hey, that's in the Bible right there. The Bible says it's appointed once for man to live, and well, then he's dead. Bam. I mean, it makes sense, right? You live and then you die. You get one shot at life. So what are you gonna do with it? Your window of opportunity is closing. So while the opportunity is there, take it. You've got to take it. Jesus said it's daytime now. People work during the day, especially back then, because ain't nothing good happened at night back in the day. They didn't have electricity and light bulbs and things like that as we do today. So when it was nighttime, everything shut down. Only the bad folk were out at night. So Jesus said, look, while the opportunity is there, you need to take it. And every day God presents us with an opportunity. You know, it's kind of funny, but I want to, you know, Sal, go ahead and give me my stools up here. I want to do an interview real quick with somebody who is a master of opportunity. Actually, it's kind of a negative thing. I don't even know if I should have done this, but anyway, she's gonna come up here real quick, and she's gonna tell us about how she has taken certain opportunities in life, how she has seized them, and the way she looks at these things. Matter of fact, her name is Susan. Well, actually, she wants to use her real name, but she's told us to call her Susan. So Susan, she's a thief. You want to go up here? Come on up. Come on, Susan. She steals stuff, apparently. Thank you, Susan. Suze, can I call you Susie? Can I call you Susie? Well, Susie.
Thank you for having me.
Seriously? What do you sound like? You don't got to disguise your voice. Nobody knows who you are. You got a mask on, for goodness sakes. You don't have to disguise your voice. Talk like you.
All right. Thank you for having me. I appreciate this opportunity. I just want to thank you.
I have my interview questions here.
I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, I know. Well, Susie, Susie the thief, you want to tell us what it is that you do?
My occupation of choice is thieving. Now, before you judge me, I'd like to tell you that although it's not an honest occupation, I do look for opportunities such as unlocked windows, unlocked doors, and especially open windows, if you know what I mean.
Yes, actually, Suze, I know exactly what you mean, because do you want to tell everybody how we met?
Yes, it's actually a very funny story. He had left his window open, and I saw through my binoculars, which I use sometimes to look for opportunities, I saw an iPad mini. Well, they're just so darn cute. I just decided to go through the window. Comes to happen that he has a 2-year-old son who has squeaky toys, and I stepped on one, and here we are after a cup of coffee, and I'm at church.
Very cute there, Suze. So now I would like you to reiterate something. Now, why is it you chose my house to try to steal from?
The window was open, and there was an iPad mini. What else is there to say?
What else is there to say? It sounds like you've done this before.
Oh, yes. I'm very good at it. I've been trained from a very young age to do this.
Really? So you've been doing this for a long time? How long have you been doing this?
Well, my mother taught me how to do this. My mother taught me at the prime age of 5 years old when she sat me down and she said, honey, boo-boo.
Honey, boo-boo.
Yeah, that's what she calls
at
me.
At 5 years old, do you know that there's another Honey Boo Boo out there?
What?
At 5 years?
I don't believe it.
It is true. It's on TV. You should steal a TV.
She better redneckinize. That's all I got to say. Okay? Because I made that up.
Never, never. You're stealing more than
I look for opportunities is what I'd like to call it.
Oh, my gosh.
But whoa. At the age of 5, I was about 2.5 feet, which makes me the prime size to look in for open purses and things like that. And that's how mother taught me how to thief.
Starting with purses and then to windows.
To windows.
You know, it sounds like you really have this down as far as opportunities.
Yes.
Did you want to share with everybody maybe some principles that you have for seizing opportunities here?
I would. In fact, I did create a PowerPoint presentation. So if we could go ahead and have that up on the overhead for you, I will show you a graph of my life. This is thieving 101. Number one is you need to make sure you wear the right shoes. That's just a joke. Okay. You just gotta look for things to steal. Okay. But I'd like to show you personally in my life, you can see through the years of 2008 and 2010, I did not look for open windows. I did not look for these opportunities then. Then, my friends, in 2011, I went ahead and I only looked for open windows. You can see how it dramatically shot up on the graph I created for you. So.
Wow. Wow, that was really amazing.
Thank you. It's the first time I've ever done that, so I was nervous.
Wow. Well, here you are at church. Have you ever thought about starting to come to church and, you know,
church?
Do this whole Jesus
with
thing?
With me? I'm a thief. I've never thought about that.
Really? Well, that's too bad. I mean, obviously, according to your graph here, you are an amazing person with opportunities. You know, God has opportunities for you, and, you know, you can kind of turn your whole life around to begin to do things for good instead.
Really? No one's ever told me that. No one's ever told a thief that. Thank you. Thank you for telling me that. I mean, really touched me right here.
Wow. You know? Maybe you should get, like, an SPT.
Jessica's pretty good. No, I don't want one of those.
No. A spiritual personal trainer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's somebody to tell you about Jesus.
Oh, someone to tell me. Now, do I have to pay for that? Do I have to do some things on the side?
No, it's free. They give you some free food and all that
free.
Kind of stuff. Free. You don't have to steal it.
That's beautiful. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, you know what? I don't think I'm going to be climbing through your windows or any of your windows anymore. You're going to see me through the open doors of church. That's where you're going to see me.
Amen. Listen. Amen. Thank
you. I'm going to go hear the preacher now.
Thank you, Suze. Pastor Deborah next door. It'd be pretty good. So let's give it for Susie the thief. Wow. What do you say to that? I don't even know. You know, my friend, true story, he got it. Somebody broke into his car just the other day because he left his window open. Suze stole his radio. I just got a new radio in my car the other day, too. No, that's my wife, in case you don't know. It was a skit there. That just happened. I know. That was my wife. I don't even know what kind of accent that was, how many there were, but it was beautiful, just like she is. And but anyway, you know, okay, here's the deal. That is true. Mike, my friend Mike, just got his house or his car broken into because they left open windows, man. I mean, we need to learn how to observe these, because for those of you guys who tried to do this, or maybe you went and you saw some things, you know, we need to train ourselves to begin to look for these things, because, you know, in a negative sense, man, we already know how to look for opportunities, because I'll tell you this, who thinks it's hard to get into trouble? Who finds it hard to get into trouble? Look at you guys, liars here. You're lying right now. You're taking this opportunity to lie to me. You two over there, look at liars over there. Look, okay, then obviously you guys know how to find trouble. Or maybe trouble knows how to find you. You're already really good at finding opportunities. Look, you don't have to try hard to get in trouble, be grounded, have your mom yell at you. Sometimes your mom yells at you and you're not even trying to get her mad at you. She just has a way of yelling at you. Look, man, I mean, we were able to find opportunities. We just find the wrong opportunities. Amen. Amen. You don't got to shout me down for that one. You can say something about that. Second Kings. Let's go to this story. Second Kings, way over the left side of the Bible. Second Kings chapter 13. I want to show this to you real quick here. Second Kings is a story about a king named Jehoash. That is not a bad word. It's really his name. and I don't have a lisp. So the story of this King Jehoash, he comes to the throne, and he rises up to power. His father dies. All this stuff happens, and he's in the kingdom of Israel here, ruling a little part of it called Samaria. And this man, he rises up to power, and what does he do? He wants to have a godly kingdom. He wants to do things right. He's looking for an opportunity to do something great, because that's what every king wants. They want to leave their mark in history. They want to be remembered as the king that did something great. So he goes to this man named Elisha, and Elisha is like the pastor. He's the prophet of the kingdom. So he says, you know what? If I want to do something great, I'm going to go to the most powerful man in all the kingdom. I'm going to go to Elisha because he talks with God. And if he talks with God, then he could talk to God for me to find out what I'm supposed to do. But here's the problem is Elisha is old. He's so old, he's gotten sick. And he knows he's going to die. He's on his deathbed. He only has days, maybe weeks, possibly hours. Nobody really knows because the doctors weren't very smart back then. They just didn't know. So all they know is that this man is fading quickly. So the king goes to see Elisha. And there he is sitting in his bed. And he says, Elisha, Elisha, what is it that God has for me? What am I to do at this place? So Elisha, in his weak, frail body, I mean, he's been preaching for 60 years. 60 years he's been preaching. He's seen 6 different kings come and go, and he's outlived them all until Jehoash. So Elisha gets up, and he says, give me the bow and arrow. One of the men that was there with the king had a bow and arrow. He said, give me his bow and arrow. So he gets his soldier's bow and arrow. And Elisha hobbles over, walking like a little old man that he was, and he takes the bow and he says, King, I want you to take this bow and arrow, and I want you with me. I want you to pull it back, and I want you to let it go. So together, they go to the window. They open the window, and they take the bow and arrow, and it must have been a really weird sight. But anyway, together, they shoot an arrow out, whew, to the east, and they shoot it out into the plains. And Elisha says, look, here's what God's saying right now. God says, just like you shot this arrow out in this direction, he says, your armies are going to go in this way. And just like that arrow fell to the ground, so your armies are going to fall upon the enemy and you're going to destroy them. So all of a sudden he's like, oh, snaps. I didn't see this one coming. He's talking about arrows and God and all this kind of stuff. This is kind of cool. This is prophecy. So all of a sudden God begins to speak through this picture, this little dramatization, if you will, of what Elisha's doing. So all of a sudden, you know, he's getting these prophets, he's getting his words, and the king's like, oh, cool, I'm going to win this one. We're going to tear some people up. We're going to rip up the Moabites. You know, the people are going to come against him. All of a sudden he says, okay, next. He's like, oh, okay, what's next? Let's do this. So you see the rest of those arrows in the quiver? He says, pull them out. He goes, okay. He says, I want you to hit the ground. He's like, okay. And all of a sudden, something happens. In 2 Kings, verse 17, 2 Kings 13, 17, it says this. He said, open the east window. He opened it. Elisha said, shoot. And the king shot. He said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance of Syria, you must strike the Syrians at the place called Aphek, till you destroyed them. Verse 18, he says, then take the arrows. The king took him. And he said to the king of Israel, he said, strike the ground. So the king, Jehoash, he struck the ground 3 times and stopped. Verse 19, the man of God was angry. What? Where is it? What? Why? It says, the man of God was angry. It said, you should have struck it 5 or 6 times. What's wrong with you? Could you just imagine an old man? You know how old men yell sometimes? Could you? I couldn't even. I'm telling you, sonny, you should have done it 5 or 6 times. He says, then you would have struck Syria until you had destroyed it. But now, he says, you'll only strike Syria 3 times. Verse 20, kind of a sad part right here. And then Elijah died. I don't know. I don't know if he died the next day or if, like, all of a sudden he's angry, and because he's so angry, he just keels over. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell me. But it seems pretty dramatic. First, he's yelling at the guy. He says, you could have done it. And then all of a sudden, poof, the Bible says, and then he died. And then they buried him. That's what the Bible says. Verse 1. It says he died and they buried him. So I don't know. I don't know how angry he was. I don't know. All I know is that Jehoash messed up. You see, here's the thing. And here's the crazy thing. Jehoash went looking for an opportunity. He went looking for an opportunity. He was literally seeking an opportunity. And then he finds Elisha, the man he's looking for. And then all of a sudden, Elisha begins to give him what he wants. He says, I want a word. I need a word. So Elisha says, okay, here you go. Bam, you got one. He's like, awesome, I got it. Opportunity found. And then he says, bam, here's another one. He's like, I don't really know about this one. And boom, he missed it. You see, he started it, but he never finished it. That happens. You see, every day has an opportunity for you. But not every day we take that opportunity. As a matter of fact, every day God gives us an opportunity, and sometimes we do the exact opposite. You see, God's not the only one offering opportunities. See, Satan offers plenty of opportunity as well. More than that, your flesh looks for opportunities as well. All you have to do is skip breakfast and lunch, and your stomach is looking for an opportunity. It grumbles, it yearns, it makes weird noises, telling you, look for an opportunity to eat. You see, this week, if you look for opportunity, it's not a matter of if you're going to find it. It's how many opportunities are you going to miss? How many opportunities am I going to miss? Because every day holds an opportunity. Every opportunity holds a blessing. So the question is, will you get a hold of it? You see, Jehoash missed the opportunity when it was right there in front of him. It was yelling at him. It was there physically in his hand, but he missed it. Why? Because he didn't see God in the opportunity. It was too natural. It was too regular. It was like, you want me to what? What do you want me to do? That's it? Seriously? This is what? You want me to do what? And all of a sudden, he realized that him knocking on the ground was his opportunity. Just like him shooting the bow and arrow was his opportunity. I don't know what your opportunity is tonight on the ride home. Maybe your opportunity is going to look like an argument with your mom on the way home. And you can either be angry about that, or you can take that opportunity to talk to your mom about something serious. To ask your mom for forgiveness. You can take the opportunity to see God in the middle of it. But you have to see God in the opportunity. Because I'll tell you this, every opportunity has several choices. You know, for example, let's say your teacher doesn't give you any homework. There's no practice. There's no laps to run. Look. Maybe your parents even go out on a date and they leave you home alone. You have an opportunity to do a lot of things. You have the house home alone on a Friday night? Dude, what are we gonna do? I mean, you have an opportunity to do anything. Anything. So the opportunities are endless, really. Yeah, but see, inside of that, you have this whole hallway of doors, this whole side panel of wall with windows for you to do something. And half of them are godly, and the other half of them are ungodly. Half of them are smart, and the other half are stupid. A third of them are going to benefit you. A third of them they're going to hurt you, and a third of them are going to be a waste. They're not going to be anything. You mean you could say it's time for a marathon of Xbox Live? Yeah. You could take that time. You could even take not the whole time, but you could take that time to be a blessing to your family by cleaning up. You could take that opportunity to get ahead on your homework. You could take that opportunity to read your Bible, pray really loud. I mean, look, I know some of you are thinking, really, really, Pastor Richard, really? I have a Friday night alone, and you want me to pray? Gotcha. You know? You're right. Okay, but I'm saying, you have an opportunity to stay up all night and surf the web and really jack up your history. Look, you have plenty of opportunities to do a lot of different things. But what are you going to do? Are you going to see God in the opportunity, or are you going to see a way to please your flesh? Are you going to see, look, Galatians 5:13. You don't got to turn there, but Galatians 5:13. Go put it up there for me. Galatians 5:13, if you got it. I want you to read this. it's kind of interesting. Galatians 5:13. The Bible says this. It says, "For we have been called to liberty. Do not use this liberty, this freedom, as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." See, Jesus has set you free. You're free. You don't have to have guilt. You don't have to be burdened. You don't have to hate yourself. But what are you going to do with that? You know, sometimes the worst choices are made when you have the greatest freedom. I mean, a night alone, by yourself. Look, some of the worst decisions are made when you have the greatest freedoms. I know that because you look at some of the things that happen in our wonderful country. You have a freedom to do anything you want. And, well, people do anything they want. And then they have to pay the consequences of it. The Bible says, you've been called to liberty, to freedom. But don't use your freedom, your liberty, as an opportunity for the flesh. See, a lot of times we miss these opportunities that God gives us, and we do something wrong or we do something hurtful because we're fleshly minded, because we want to please ourselves instead of pleasing God. We do it sometimes because we're hard-hearted. Look. Sometimes, especially when it comes to family and friends and people at your school and stuff like that, because you've been hurt, you don't take that opportunity because you're scared of being hurt again. We take that opportunity to hurt somebody instead of make things right. You know, look, God wants you to be healed. God wants you to make things better. You know, look, we get offended, we get mad at people. So instead of taking opportunities to make things right, we ignore them. We say, you know, I don't want to be around them because they did this or they did that. I don't want to talk to them because I don't like them. Well, you want me to say what to this person? No way, God. I'm not going to do that because they're just going to do it again because this and that. I'm not going to let them off the hook. Because we're offended, we miss these opportunities. Instead, we take the opportunity, instead of forgiving, take the opportunity to bunker down and hate them even more. Yeah, look, sometimes we just don't take the right opportunity because we don't have any faith. And if we would have faith and trust God at what he says, then we would see so many more opportunities. I heard this story about a car salesman. I hate car salesmen. I just do. If your dad's a car salesman, I'm sorry, but I hate them. I just don't like, I'm probably missing an opportunity right here, but I just don't like car salesmen. Anyway, I'm sorry, Lord. I apologize. I'll get saved after service. Anyway, there's a story about this car salesman, and he's there, he's on the lot, and this guy walks up, and this guy is dressed head to toe just horribly. The man stinks. He's got big old rubber boots. A true story, too. He's got this fisherman's hat. I mean, literally, the guy's got this oversized, messy, thrash set of clothing on. I mean, the guy's a fisherman, obviously, because he smells like it, he looks like it, and he comes onto the lot. You know, he hadn't showered. He looked like he just dragged him out of the sea. And he walks up and he says, "Hey, I want to buy 16 cars." The guy's like, "What? What?" He's like, "Look, I'm not gonna." The guy says, 16 cars. Forget about it, man. You guys, get out of here. I don't got time for you. If I talk to you about this, then I'm going to miss the next guy. You know, look, I don't want to deal with it." Well, the guys, the fisherman says, "All right, that's fine." Walks across the street to the other car dealership. He buys 16 cars. He buys 16 cars. I mean, literally, that's like $300,000. And he pays cash. Well, it turns out that he was one of those Atlantic fishermen, and they get paid for the entire year. And him and his 15 other fisherman friends wanted to buy a car, but they wanted to get a bulk deal. So they said, "Well, if we buy all of our cars together, maybe they'll give us a discount." So he walks in with the cash and buys 16 cars. His friends roll up in their stinky boots and drive away. The guy missed 16 cars. That's like a whole month's worth of sales. And all he had to do was show him a car. About 16 of the same cars for him and his friends. Now they all smell the same and they drive the same car. Cash. All because this guy had no faith and no trust that anybody would want to make a sale like that. See, a lot of times God might say, "I need you to pray for this." You say, "God, I'm not going to pray for that. What if it doesn't happen?" God, I can't make it to that college. Psh, why am I going to study? God, my father's an alcoholic. My grandfather's an alcoholic. My brother, he's a mess. God, you want me to do what? I can't do that. But God has put an opportunity before you. God has put an opportunity before you, and we miss them because we don't believe God. That can't be God's voice. I'll look too stupid. No, you won't look stupid. The only way you look stupid is if you miss the opportunity. Because I'll tell you this, when that guy saw that nasty old fisherman and his friends driving out car after car, you imagine how stupid he felt? True story, happened in Denmark. I guess that's where they fish a lot. But you've got to see God in the opportunity. And then you've got to go all in. You see, he started well. Let me wrap up with this. Is number one is you've got to see God in the opportunity. Number two, you've got to go all in. When God gives you, look, you should take a good opportunity. You should take a good opportunity. But when God puts an opportunity in front of you, you should dive in head first. Don't put your toe in. Don't twinkle toes into the water. No, you just dive all in. When God puts something in front of you, you need to snatch. You need to snatch it up. You need to bite it like a bulldog on a steak. I mean, I'm telling you, man, when God puts an opportunity in front of you, why would you not put your all into it? Look, this guy had the prophet in front of him. This guy was already hearing great things. He said, if you shoot this arrow, you're going to win this battle. Sweet, if you hit these sticks, something else great will happen. What? No. Tink, tink, tink. What? Seriously? The guy got PO'd him and said, I can't believe you. You missed this. God was right in front of you. Sometimes we do it every time we go to church. We come to church and we're like, just another Wednesday, another Sunday morning, another Sunday night. Whatever, man. Whatever. It's probably the same story about the same message, about the same verse, about the same guy talking the same thing. Whatever. No. God says, when you come to church, pour your whole life out. Sing like your lungs are going to explode. Pay attention like this is the last day. Like the test is right after service. Look, when you go to school, don't just go to school and fall asleep second period and first period and third period and then eat your cheesy lunch at 10:30 in the morning and then all of a sudden just fart your rest of your day through and just miss everything. Look, you need to do this as an opportunity and look for something extraordinary that God has put inside of your life. And maybe it's a big extraordinary, maybe it's a little extraordinary. I don't know. But you need to go all in. All the brother had to do was beat the arrows like crazy. And after Elisha died, whatever he died, they began to fight the Syrians. The first battle, King Jehoash won. Second battle, King Jehoash won. Third battle, King Jehoash won. Fourth battle, lost. Fifth battle, lost. And that happened time again until another nation came in and wiped the nation off the map. They came in with their horses and their chariots. They burned the cities. And they took all the people away as captives and slaves. Because he didn't go all in. Because he said, God, maybe you're serious. I don't know. I'll just do enough. I'll just go just enough to get by. Three times. That sounds like a good, third time's a charm, God. No. Sometimes third time's not a charm. Sometimes you got to knock on the door four times and five times. Sometimes you get, wait. Look. When you're knocking on the door for so long and you know that God has given it to you, when your knuckles begin to bleed and you can't knock any longer, you know what you do? You take your big old fat foot and you kick the door in. Bam! A long echo. Because God gave this to me. And if God gave this to me, nobody can take it from me unless I give it to them. And if God gave this to me, then I'm going to get it because it's mine, because the Lord said it's mine. So I'm going to go all in. I'm going to leave it all in the field. I'm not going home empty-handed because God said I don't have to. And the window closed. There was no second try for Jehoash. He tapped it three times on the ground, and then the brother died. Talk about a bad day. History is made by finishers. Jokes are made by starters. People who start and don't finish, they become a joke. But people who start and they do finish, those people make history. Those people leave a legacy. Those people see their lives touch other lives. And see, it doesn't matter how you start. It only matters that you finish. It only matters that you finish. You see, look, Jehoash started good. Brother was shooting them arrows like a pro. Bam! But he finished like some weak eight-toed tap dancer. Tap, tap, tap. Oh, is that good enough? No! It's not good enough. Nothing against eight-toed tap dancers. Just saying. See, you have to take the opportunity and pour your life into it. Could you imagine if you tried to ask a girl out, hey, I think you're kind of cute, and I like you girls, and you probably don't like guys like me, but I don't know, just maybe you don't have to say yes. Now I kind of look like the Hunchback of Notre Dame, but maybe you wanna go out with me tomorrow. Look, that's not how a brother gets a lady. And I've seen some weird-looking dudes with some pretty girls. Hey, that's it. Next week,